agree. No.
Hello. Right, I've done the first challenge, which was to get this on. So that's it. We have to move that out of the way. Okay, welcome to Sitting Bull Baptist Church this morning. We have a Reverend Andy Twilley, who is with us today, from SEBA, who is going to give us today's talk, which is all based on the beginning of Acts and what happened then after the and what happened then. And, you know, what's great about today is that that reading is all about the first church being established. And we are that church now in 2025. So we're going to open with a psalm, and then we're going to get worshipping our Lord. So can we please have Psalm 95 on the screen? And then we're all going to actually read this together, because it's for all of us. This is what we're all going to do together. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We're going to finish it there. Well done, everybody. That's our message for this morning as we come together in worship. We've got three songs. We're just going to go from one to the next to the next. We're going to come with Come Set Your Rule. Build your kingdom here. We are your church. And then King of Kings. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. And then what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ our King. Okay, let's get singing. If you can stand, please stand. And let's sing together.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in our
Thank you.
say, please be seated. Wow, if you gave that worship all you've got, you'll be like me and semi-worn out now. We just need to take a breath, don't we? We're going to ask, is there anybody here who is young? We're all young, aren't we? And who has had a birthday this week? Have we got anyone? I do know of one birthday girl this week. Anyone else? Well, I think then for Lacey, we'd best sing. Oh, and Lewis. And Lewis. I did know that too, Lewis. I apologise. Is there someone up there? They're coming down. Right, now we're talking. We've got somebody. This is great. The problem is, where I'm sitting, you can't see anybody around there. Hello, hello. What's your name? Ashley. And how old are you going to be? You're nine. Nine. That's a good age, isn't it? Right, Ashley, have a little look in the birthday box and see if there's anything there that you would like. Okay, go and have a look now. See if there's anything there that you think, yeah, that looks good. It's a difficult decision, really, isn't it? We all have decisions, and this is a tricky one. How are you doing? What we'll do is we're going to sing to Ashley and to Lewis and to Lacey, okay? We're going to sing Happy Birthday. So, Ashley, you keep looking if you want while we're singing to you, okay? So, Happy Birthday. Have you chosen something? Show everybody what you've chosen. Yay! Would you like to go back and sit with your family? Well done. Okay, I also want to mention a very special couple, Margaret and Michael Jonas, who are celebrating 66 years wedding anniversary. I think that is definitely worth a whoop whoop. They're not here today, but they did want to just mention that, and I think we should just remember them in our prayers. They'll be married 66 years on the 17th of October. I think 66 years is just wow. Wow. Can't get my head around that. Okay. Now, we're going to move into another two songs. The first one, I'm going to speak after the first one, but the first one that we're going to sing now is I Speak Jesus. It's one that everybody in here, lots of us, have learned maybe possibly recently, maybe not for a long time. And I think it will tie in really nicely with today's message of I Speak Jesus. So let's stand together.
I just want to speak.
In our next song, we are going to be really, really focusing on the words at the end in this brilliant bridge. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Because the battle belongs to... So... Let's go.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask the children if they would like to go to their groups now. If you don't normally go to this church, there are groups here for all ages, from the creche upstairs right the way through primary school to the youth downstairs in the basement. Please just follow some children that are your age and they will help you, and the grown-ups there will help you. We here in a moment, we're going to enter into a time of prayer. What I'm going to offer this morning is, if I'm going to start by leading the prayers, and then I'm going to play a little bit. And while I'm playing, that can just be a time for reflection, for self-reflection, and for praying alone to God. Or it can be for people to, in the church here, to offer up prayers to the Lord. So it really is up to you. It's either a prayer that you want to say out loud or a prayer you want to keep in your heart. Either way, God hears those prayers, doesn't he? So, Lord, we offer our prayers on behalf of our neighbours whose needs are known to us. We pray both for the sisters and brothers we know and for those who are strangers. We pray for those who are lost and bewildered, much like the disciples as they stared into the heavens. So much that happens in the world today that leaves us frozen, paralysed with fear, uncertain, and perhaps with a sense of abandonment. Grant us a light of hope from the darkness that hangs around the edges, a moment of calm from the chaos that bombards us each day, a sense of peace from the angry and hostile rhetoric, a place of quiet where our soul and spirit can be refreshed and restored. Open our minds to internalize the words of scriptures, O God, so that when belligerence cripples our hope, we may discover the freedom of your forgiveness. When suffering and death overtake our lives, we may know the joy of the risen Christ. And when we feel abandoned, we may comprehend the power of the promised Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for your very warm welcome to me. I'm delighted to be here. My name's Andy. I am one of the regional ministers with the Southeastern Baptist Association. I'm married to Louise. I have three sons plus three stepsons and six grandchildren. So that tells you a little bit about who I am. We live down in West Sussex, in a lovely little village between Horsham and Worthing. And it is lovely to be with you. My role within SEBA, and I do indeed bring greetings on behalf of the whole SEBA team to you, my role within SEBA is twofold. On the one hand, 25% of my time I do normal regional minister stuff. So that is things like, actually, could I have my PowerPoint up? That would be, have that live. That would be great. Thank you. So that's supporting some of the ministers and some of the churches across SEBA as a whole. So that's 25% of my time. But then 75% of my time, I work with churches right across the Southeast, spearheading the new SEBA mission strategy, which is called Partners in Mission. And in a moment, there should be something up on the screen. But basically, some of you came to the launch event of Partners in Mission. Hands up if you came to the launch event. Took place, the one launch event was in Tunbridge. And we had a really exciting day as we launched this new initiative. And since then, I've been connected with a whole range of churches across the association and helping them to explore more what mission should look like, could look like for them. Because mission has to be bespoke. It has to be unique to each of the local contexts within which we are situated. Because you, as with every other Baptist church, you are a unique congregation within a unique community. What should mission look like for your church? What shape of mission does God want you to have? And in 2026, we have another big association-wide event. And that is taking place, and hopefully there will be something up on the screen in a moment referring to this. But it's on the 25th of April. Make a note of it. Book it now in your diary. The 25th of April at Crawley Baptist Church. So get your diaries out, get that noted. Leaders here, get that noted on your church's diary. And we'd be delighted to see as many of you as possible joining that event and coming alongside us on that day. Now, I love having opportunities to come and meet with other churches, and every Sunday I'm at a different church, and it's great. I love it, just to meet with people, connect with people. But of course, when you go to a church for the first time, you don't know how you're going to be received, and you also don't know what sort of sermon churches like to have. So a bit of anxiety, will they like me and will they like the sermon that I'm going to bring? And of course that anxiety is increased because I heard of one church which only liked a 10-minute sermon. Can you believe it? 10-minute sermon, and for the visiting preacher, he didn't know this, and 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed, 20 minutes, people were getting a bit restless, 25 minutes, the polo mints had run out. And at this point, someone got so frustrated with the preacher, they picked up their Bible and threw it at him. Fortunately for the visiting preacher, the person was not a very good shot. Unfortunate, though, for an elderly lady sitting on the front row, because it hit her on the back of the head. And as she was sinking into subconsciousness, she was heard to remark, "Hit me again, I can still hear him." So if I see you reaching for a Bible at a moment that I'm not expecting, you'll see me make a very hasty exit through one of these side doors. From the outset of what we're going to focus on this morning, we must affirm the fact that our perspectives as Christian men and women must focus on the reality that we are not simply children of God, sons and daughters in this amazing family of his people, but we are part of God's eternal kingdom. As Jesus entered the world, as Jesus laid his life for the world, he did so not simply so that we can go to heaven when we die, which of course is the promise that we have, haven't we? But he came to call a kingdom people to his side, who would do his will, who would announce his reign, who would live out his priorities, and who would change the world. In other words, to continue the work that he began during his earthly life and ministry. And as we become become part of his kingdom, as we're brought into his kingdom, we become citizens of that kingdom. No, more than that, we become ambassadors of the King. And this morning, as Linda said, we're going to focus on the events leading up to Jesus' glorious ascension. And the passage that we'll hear in a few moments is so important for us as church. There's key principles within it that we must apply to ourselves. The ascension of Jesus took place 40 days after the crucifixion of Jesus. And these words that we're going to hear in a moment were spoken to the disciples. And these words would be transformational for them, as they were now being given the responsibility of establishing church. Church, what was this? What was it designed to be? They had no blueprint. They had no model to copy. What were the responsibilities? What were the expectations that were going to sit on their shoulders? So we're going to... That's the advert for the event. There we go. Oh, I should point that way, shouldn't I? You can see there, April 25th at from 10 until 3:30. Join us if you can for that. So something's happened and it's not now clicking. We're going to hear the Bible reading. Linda is going to come and read for us. Acts chapter 1, verses 1. To 9.
Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
Thanks, Linda. The glorious ascension of the King. And what an awesome King he is. I wonder, have you ever played the alphabet game when we think about the qualities of the King? You ever played that game? No? Okay, well, you can play it over coffee after the service. But to give you a flavour, the idea is that you go through the whole alphabet thinking of characteristics of our awesome King. I'll give you a flavour of it. Awesome and almighty, bountiful and beautiful, compassionate, divine, everlasting, faithful, gracious, holy, infinite, just, kind. Getting the idea? Loving, merciful, noble, omnipotent, patient and powerful, quiescent. Ooh. Now you're thinking, X is on the way. Quiescent. Radiant, sovereign, transcendent, unequaled and unchanging, victorious, wise, xenodochial. He's Yahweh. He is our zealous King. He truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes? Yeah. Yes. And did you notice how Jesus prioritized during the reading, how during that period between the resurrection and ascension, he prioritized teaching about his kingdom? And that was going to be so important for the disciples, because they were going to have the responsibility of declaring the kingdom and demonstrating the reality of that kingdom. And this kingdom that Jesus was referring to was not a democracy. It wasn't a religion, but it was where he truly reigned as king. And it's a transforming kingdom. A kingdom where the forgotten are remembered, where the lost are found, the excluded are welcomed, the impoverished are enriched, the silenced are heard, the ignored are noticed, the grieving are comforted, the weak are given strength, the foolish offered wisdom, the downtrodden are raised up, and the oppressed are liberated. This is the kingdom of God. And then we have those challenging words that we heard in verse 8, where Jesus says to the disciples, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses. Witnesses of the King. Witnesses of the kingdom. What does that mean? Well, think about it. What does a witness do in a court of law? A witness in a court of law simply talks about what they have seen and heard. They aren't expected to explain it, embellish it, simply share what they have seen, what they've experienced, what they have heard. And that, my friends, I would suggest is the most encouraging and yet also the most challenging fact for us all. Encouraging. Encouraging because it means we don't have to have lots of clever answers to complex questions. We don't have to be really articulate or eloquent regarding deep theology. And that should encourage us all because it means that we can all do it. But therein lies the challenge, because none of us have an excuse for not doing it. So what can we draw out from this passage? Well, first of all, the disciples are called to pause, as Jesus tells them to wait, verse 4. Now, anyone who knows me well will know that waiting is not my strongest point. I'm someone who wants to be out there getting on with it. Come on, folk, what are we waiting for? Jesus says, no. Press the pause button. And maybe for some here this morning, some of you, that is the very simple message God is saying to you. Pause. Not just now and again, not just once a week on a Sunday morning, but on a regular basis, build in pauses into your life. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle, many of us have got very full diaries. And the fuller our diaries get, the more important it is to schedule in, to make sure we prioritize pauses in our lives. If we're going to be most effective for the work of the kingdom, we have got to have those pauses. And then if we read a bit further in verse 14, we discover how the disciples used that pause, used their pausing, namely, they prayed. In other words, this pausing wasn't just a hanging around sort of pausing. It wasn't a waiting for the next activity type of pausing. No, they truly paused in the presence of God. They engaged constantly in prayer. And that was so important for them, and I dare say so important for us too. Because it meant that they were better prepared, better placed for what comes next, namely the prioritizing of being witnesses on behalf of their risen and ascended Lord. And I am convinced that that challenge to the disciples is a mandatory expectation that Jesus has on all of us. It wasn't just an expectation for the first century disciples, but on all of us. It's a part of, it's something that has to be built into our DNA as Christians. If we have true kingdom DNA, this has got to be a part of it. And yet all too often I fear that so many Christians have abdicated that responsibility. Maybe at times we've fallen into the trap of suggesting, well, the mission stuff, the witnessing stuff, well, that's for a little subgroup. Those few who are wired that way, those few people who are good at that sort of stuff, we'll leave it to them to do. And maybe within some churches, we've gone one further step and we've strongly affirmed those who've gone to be witnesses, maybe in other parts of the world. We've prayed for them. We've sent them out. Maybe we've even given them some money towards doing it. And it's almost at times as if that means our consciences are salved. They're doing the mission stuff, so I can just get on with everything else. And this morning, I want to suggest no. These words were not designed for just a select few. These words, this commission, this command, is something that Jesus gives to us all. So what does this aspect of kingdom DNA mean? What does it look like? And I want to suggest two distinct elements. And the first of those is having kingdom DNA means prioritizing the principles of the kingdom. Now you may notice that there's key words on the screen all beginning with P. This is so that over coffee I can test you. Because it's easier for you to remember. So take note. If you're going to get coffee afterwards, you need to remember these. Paused, prayed, prioritized, and the principles of the kingdom. Are you getting it? Are you embedding it? You're a bit hesitant already. Okay, let's just give it a go. I've done that. What were they? Paused? Wow. I'm impressed. So far, so good. So far, so good. Now, we all know that as citizens in God's kingdom, we have dual citizenship. We are citizens of the UK, yet at the same time, we are citizens of God's eternal kingdom. We see Jesus balancing these two elements in his earthly life and ministry. Do you remember the occasion where he talked about rendering to Caesar what was Caesar's and rendering to God what was God's? And we have to wrestle with the same tension, yet always ensuring we tilt towards prioritizing the principles of God's eternal kingdom. And it's tough, isn't it? It's tough because every day, wherever we go, in our workplaces, in our local communities, let alone at home watching TV, tension between worldly values and God's values. How do we handle that? Well, some people might think, well, I better set up a set of rules to make sure I don't compromise on God's principles. The Pharisees did that. They came up with a rule book with, I believe, 613 rules in it. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to have abundant life, superabundant life, life in all its fullness, not to be tied down by lots of rules. And instead, I believe Jesus wants us to live by a set of principles. And so the question is then is, what are those principles? Well, I love the way the LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, they have come up with six words, all beginning with M. Don't worry, I'm not going to test you on the M's as well as the P's. But I think these are really helpful. They're really challenging as well. Have a look at them. Here they come. Modeling godly character. Making good works. Ministering grace and love. Moulding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, being a messenger of the gospel. These are the principles which flow out from us when we have kingdom DNA. And because this becomes part of our DNA, it's not something that we do here but then switch off there. It's not something that we tap into now, but actually on this occasion, no, I'm not going to abide by those. No, it's in our DNA. It's at the heart of who we are. Such that wherever we go, whoever we're with, whether we're down the supermarket, whether we're in our workplaces, whether we're playing sport, whether we're engaging in a hospital appointment, wherever we are, these principles, when they become part of our DNA, become operative through our lives. This is when we start bearing witness to the Lord Jesus in all the contexts he places us into. So that's the one side of the coin. But then the other side of the, and those principles apply to us all. But then on the other side of the coin, we need to prioritize our God-given purpose. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, I love the way Paul expresses it. He says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow! We're not just passive citizens in God's kingdom. But we truly are ambassadors of the King. And because we're ambassadors, it means we've got a purpose. We've got responsibilities. And we have a responsibility to play our part and fulfill that purpose. And if the church is to be and become everything that God has designed it to be, it requires us all, every one of us, to play our part, to fulfill our God-given purpose. But even as I say this, it may engender a question in your mind. What is your purpose? Or what is my purpose? And you may be sat there thinking, well, Andy, this sounds fine, but I don't know what my purpose is. And it's so important that we spend time prayerfully seeking to discern what is my purpose for now, for this stage of my life journey. I want you to do something for me right now. Okay, I want you to turn to the person next to you and I want you to look them in the eye and say it and mean it. Six words. God has a purpose for you. Okay, just do it right now. great news is, that is true. Whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever our skills and abilities are, God has a purpose for you. We never pass our use-by date. We never become obsolete in the kingdom of God. From the youngest through to the oldest, God has a purpose for you. And after this morning, you may need to just spend time prayerfully reflecting on that question. What is my purpose? Maybe you'll want to meet with Nathan when he's back. I believe he's back quite imminently. So he can be swamped with lots of people saying, "Hey, Nathan, welcome back. Now, I've got a big question for you. I need to understand, what is my purpose?" You know, amazingly, so many Christians go through life never asking that question. Maybe it's not Nathan that you would want to have the conversation with. Maybe you're part of a small group and that group knows you really well, and you can talk with them, with one another, sharing your purpose, seeking to discern your purpose. Or maybe you've got a close Christian friend who you could just take to one side, take out for a coffee and say, "Look, I really need to think this through, because it's so important. If we have kingdom DNA, if you have kingdom DNA, God has got a purpose for you." Discern it. And then do all you can to wholeheartedly fulfill it. Well, there's one final P in our set of Ps, and that is this. Having kingdom DNA means we have the King's power. The power of the kingdom, verse 8. And as soon as I say those words, immediately my mind goes to the words that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, which I'm sure you all know so well. "Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work in..." And one or two people whispered it. Us! His power at work in us. I'm going to say that sentence again. And now you know what the word is, you can all say it with confidence, can't you? "Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. To him be glory..." Where? Out there in the cosmos? No, Paul goes on. "To him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Our vision, as we seek to play our part in the kingdom, should not be based within the parameters, the confines of human possibility, but daring to trust the God-given vision, which takes us beyond human possibility to a place of expecting exceedingly more from God through his power at work in us. With kingdom DNA, we start living and serving with the authority of the King, accessing the power of the King. And then, just as the first century believers discovered the truths of this, as they spoke about the kingdom, as they demonstrated the reality of that kingdom, we too experience that reality in our lives as we claim that promise, and as we live and serve relying on that power. This is kingdom DNA. So, what is God saying to you this morning? There you have the six P's neatly listed. But what is God saying to you? Is God saying to you something about this pausing? I'm going to invite the musicians, the band, to come up and rejoin me at the front, because we're going to sing in just a moment. And I want this question to lead into the singing of a song in a moment. And we'll just remain seated for singing this song. The song is, I Will Offer Up My Life. But maybe God is challenging you or reminding you of the importance of having pauses. Is that what God's saying? Or maybe you've marginalized prayer. And actually, God is very simply saying to you, you've got to reprioritize it. Or then those other priorities. The living out the principles. Maybe as you read those list of six M's, maybe one of those you thought, actually, that's quite challenging. I need to think that through for my life contexts. Or purpose, or power. Perhaps if the music could just gently, quietly start playing, that would be really great as we prayerfully answer that question, address that question. What's God saying to you? It's really good to explore God's word together, but there always has to be an answer to the so what question. So what? So what does this mean for me? What does it mean for my life? What difference is it going to make? Let's listen to what the Spirit is saying into our lives and commit ourselves to that response. Have the words up for the next song, please. I will offer up my life. To sing, just remaining seated as we continue in prayer together. I will offer up my life. Lord Jesus, in those words, we acknowledge the fact that you gave everything. You sacrificed everything because of your love for us. You laid down your life that we might have life in all its fullness. And you called us to be members of your family. You chose us to be not just citizens, but ambassadors within your kingdom. And right now, Lord, in the quietness of our hearts, we renew our commitment to you, to live wholeheartedly for you, to be people, to be men and women who honor you in all that we do, with all that we have, that we would be people who live out those principles, that we would be people who fulfill the purpose that you have given to us. Not in our own strength. Because in our own strength we'll stumble and fall. But rather, serving you, reliant on, dependent on your power at work in us. For your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The PowerPoint is not live, it's not clicking. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing a closing song. You won't know the words, but you will know the tune. We seek your kingdom throughout every sphere. We long for heaven's demonstration here. Let's stand as we sing together.
Throughout every sphere, we long for heaven's demonstration here. Jesus, your light, shine bright for all to see. Transform, revive, and heal. Bye. revive your heart on history's page. Make us again what we were made to be. Transform, revive, and heal society.
And it's with those words and that commission that Jesus sends us out to transform, revive, and heal society. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's bless each other as we share the words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Well, please sit down. Before you rush off for your teas and coffees, I believe that you have been alerted to the fact that I might want to take your photo. And I would love to take your photo. This will be used on the SEBA Facebook page. If you would much rather not be involved, included in this photo, just move right to the edge. This phone's got quite a wide angle lens, so move right to the edge. The rest of you gather in the, but more to the middle. That would be great. I'm not sure if I'm going to get everyone in the balcony as well, but we will. I probably can actually. As long as people from the edges move across. As I say, if you don't want to be in the photo, then please just stay right at the edge. Okay, and I'd like some really nice big smiles from you. Perhaps, yeah, we'll do it this way. Okay, big smile now. Big smile. Just, okay, even bigger smile. Go for it. And a big wave. Perfect. You now qualify for your teas and coffees.
Onto 8, 8, 3, and then come back.